Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. We've got a lot that we need to discuss with our good friend Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, the killing of Soleimani, and the emergence of what can only be described as America's most idiotic collection of criminal justice legislation and rules ever in the history of civilized mankind. And I'm not exaggerating on that one. But I'm going to let Jimmy provide all the important insight. I'm thrilled to say he's here. Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us.
Jeff, thanks for having me, and happy belated holidays to you, and I'm looking forward to getting into it today. I know I'm going to have to wear a couple of hats, and I am looking forward to it, my brother.
Let's talk about something that might be a little bit more encouraging for the rest of us. We, the United States of America, your brothers in arms, took out one of the world's most dangerous, disgusting terrorists in Qasem Soleimani.
Yeah, you cannot understate that, Jeff, because that is absolutely just a halcyon move by the United States. And look, I applaud the military, the Department of State, the Department of Defense, the president for making the tough call, and obviously the folks that did this. Mr. Soleimani met an MQ-9 Reaper. My time in Afghanistan back in the early 2000s, we had Predator drones. They now have the Reapers. These things travel, Jeff, 300 miles per hour. Their range is over 1,000 miles, and they literally, they bring down hellfires, and that's exactly what happened. And I got to tell you, and I'm going to play the versatility role here as my military history major at West Point, former Army officer thing. This was huge, and I know this has been downplayed in some circles, and I know with the tribalism that goes on in our country right now, the Democrats have tried to minimize this and to downplay it or to malign it. Obviously, places like the New York Times and the Washington Post have had just a couple of days of just embarrassing headlines. I mean, they went from, we took out, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the head of ISIS, you know, a few months back, and what did they call him? They called him an austere religious scholar.
That's right.
They're now referring to Soleimani as a revered military leader and not really the terrorist that he is. I mean, look, I mean, he's been a fixture in Iran for some time now. I think going back to, about 1998, he's been the commander of the Quds Force there, and he's basically handled all of their extraterritorial military clandestine operations. And I was talking to one of my classmates who's still in the military, serving as a general officer right now, and he very aptly described him. He basically served in the same role as our vice president, secretary of state, and secretary of defense rolled into one. Now, you look at that and you say, well, those are all good positions, except that he was also the person that handled a lot of the state-sponsored terrorism that Iran has been involved in. Geez, I mean, going back to the regime change in 1979, Jeff, and then, of course, in 1984 when the United States actually labeled Iran a state sponsor of terror. So make no doubt about it. I listened to the congressman from the 5th District of Virginia spell it out perfectly as well with you in the first segment. A bad man was taken off the field, and Jeff, we are infinitely safer now as a result of it.
Well, I am very happy to hear that, and I love your classmate's description of this guy, because it's spot on. This is a guy who had his hands in everything, and in many ways, and it is being downplayed, if it's being acknowledged at all by many of the media types and the Democrats, sort of repeat myself there, but you know, this is a guy who was the CIA boss and the Joint Chiefs boss and the vice president of the nation, and just was totally responsible for all of this evil that Iran has perpetrated as a nation around the world. Let me ask you, though, now that we've taken him out and we're hearing all of the concern, now, my gosh, were there other options? Why didn't we send him a nasty note? Why didn't we tell him he, couldn't have cookies with his milk or whatever it was? Is there somebody right in line to take his place, or is it going to take them a while to regroup and rebuild?
Jeff, there always is. Whether it's a violent street gang or whether it's a member of the mafia or whether or not it's a person like this that kind of directed Iran's state sponsor of terror, where you know they funded and supported Hezbollah. They certainly tried to support Bashar al-Assad in Syria. They were certainly linked in with Russia, with the Kremlin. So this guy had his hand in everything. Now, is it easy to replace that person that has that kind of institutional knowledge? And again, he was a Quds Force commander since about 1998. So think about that. That's 22 years. So yes and no. Now, having said that, I caught your line earlier, your tongue-in-cheek line, which, you know, so many folks here in the country, because we're so divided, you mentioned, are sitting shiva over the fact that this person, this monster, and that's the fair way of describing him, has been taken off the field. And yes, I think that makes us safer. I think it's going to take time for Iran to reconstitute and to figure out who's going to fill that vacuum or that void. But look, Jeff, we made a colossal mistake with that joint comprehensive plan of action, which I've heard you talk about before, that President Obama and then Secretary of State John Kerry so desperately wanted to will into being, making it something that it wasn't. And we gave Iran $150 billion, with a B, dollars back in sanctions relief. And even John Kerry has admitted that, yes, some of that money is probably going to go back into that funneled into that terrorism sponsorship. So, look, Iran is flush with cash right now. And so if we think that this means they're not going to do anything, that would be a fool's errand and a fool's game. But do I think they could strike targets inside the United States? My gut tells me, and from talking to people currently still in the counterterrorism business, no. But Iran is famous for proxy wars. They're famous for paying for terrorists to do things. And look, Israel is very close. We know that they have a sincere loathing for Israel. Mm-hmm. Are there other places that they could attempt to strike? And Jeff, the answer to that is 100% yes.
Wow. Brilliant insight as always, our friend Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, a distinguished career there, an Army officer, graduate of West Point, now the law enforcement analyst for CNN, brilliant pieces written and placed around America. Let me ask you to address one of those, if you don't mind, Jimmy. You had a piece not too long ago in the Examiner talking about the most idiotic, ridiculous, pathetic, disgusting bail reform and criminal justice reform laws anywhere in the history. This is the worst thing that has come down the pike ever, isn't it? What's going on in your state of New York?
It is. And let this be a cautionary tale. I know that you guys down there are living large in the beautiful region of Central Virginia. When the Washington Examiner reached out to me and said, would you be willing to write a piece on this? And I said, heck yeah, I've been tweeting about it. I've been talking about it. I think that this bail and discovery reform package that the Democratic liberal legislature in Albany in New York, as well as the liberal and Democratic governor, Andrew Cuomo, have put into effect starting on January 1st, I think it is dangerous, not just reckless, not just foolhardy, not just, hey, this isn't a good idea, but it's dangerous. But the Examiner asked me when they wanted me to write the piece, yes, but does this apply nationally? We need it to be a national piece. And I said, if you don't think this is going to happen in other environs, you are sadly mistaken. Because, look, nobody, least of all me, doesn't think that there are certain criminal justice reforms that our system needs to undergo. I've written pieces about it. I believe that our system needs some type of reform. But you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, Jeff. You don't completely go in the opposite end. And that's what we do. The pendulum swings. And just so the listeners are understanding what we're talking about, bail reform, and I say that in quotation marks, is a loose euphemism for basically the dissolution of cash bail. Now, look, our system is predicated on the notion that you should have reasonable bail set for you. If you're not a flight risk, if you're not still a danger to the community, You should have a judge to be able to say, look, Mr. Katz, you're worth this amount of money. We're going to set bail at this. It's going to be something you're going to have to cobble together, but it gives us a reasonable insurance that you're going to show up for court.
Right.
What they've done is they said, hey, poor and indigent folks, people, you know, those aren't the only folks that commit crimes, but folks that commit crimes that don't have the means to put up cash bail, we're doing away with it. But don't worry, Jimmy, they said. This is not going to involve folks that are violent. This is not involve folks that are stalkers. It's not going to involve folks that are domestic abusers. And unfortunately, that's exactly who it's involved, because judges have had their hands tied so that folks that are recidivists, meaning folks that have committed the same burglaries, robberies, beaten their wives or their spouses, done all these heinous crimes, they have been allowed to get out. In fact, recently, Jeff, and you and I haven't talked about it, but the spate of anti-Semitic violence that have taken place in New York, we've had people that have assaulted Hasidic Jews in places like Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and Park Slope, and Crown Heights, and most recently, you know, the incident of the stabbing in the rabbi's home up in Muncie, New York.
Right.
And in some instances, these folks are being released after assaulting people and having an additional assault on their record. Jeff, it's nonsensical. The other part of this is the discovery reform, which basically says that you are allowed now to receive information on the background, the identity, the location where these people live of your victims.
Oh.
So if you victimize somebody in a crime, everything about your background is now discoverable to your attorneys and to you. I mean, Jeff, it's insanity.
So let me ask you this, and I'm not being too much of a smart aleck. Why bother locking anybody up anymore, Jimmy?
Jeff, people have been opining that on January 1st, there are 62 counties in New York State. The sheriffs were forced to open the doors to their jails. And Jeff, let me say this. 3,800 inmates that were incarcerated were let back out on the street as a result of these reforms. If somebody is going to tell me that that's not going to have an impact on recidivism and repeat offenders and things happening while these people are out on cashless bail bond, you got me. But look, we're studying it, we're watching it, and Jeff, the reason why it's a national story, yes, this is a big New York issue right now. New York is one of 50 states, but Jeff, it's going to impact states all across the country.
No doubt about it. Jimmy, I'm so over time, I have to cut you loose, but before I do, can I ask you in a couple of words? The New York Post says, oh yeah, Andrew McCabe, your former co-worker at the FBI, has now apologized for lying to his fellow FBI agents. Can you give me a gut check reaction to that?
Absolutely. I'll keep it short. And as you know, I got to preface this by saying that Andy is now, yet again, a colleague of mine because he does work for CNN, who employs me also as a law enforcement analyst. All I can say is this, the reports that have come out from the discovery from the Freedom of Information Act, paperwork that came from Andy, the investigation into Andy's four times lying, three times under oath, but lying to FBI agents. All I can say, Jeff, is this. If Lieutenant General Michael Flynn is going to go to jail for lying to FBI agents, I don't see how Andy does not avoid the same fate. Because if he does, it will smack of hypocrisy and it will smack of picking winners and losers, and we don't want our justice system to be that way.
As always, spot on, Jimmy. Thank you so much for making time for us. We'll look forward to doing it again soon.
Sounds good, Jeff. Be good.
Thank you, my friend. That is Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. Just nobody better. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I love Jimmy, and I love what he has to offer. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.